Psalm 12. We'll read the entire psalm. It's a short psalm of 8 verses. Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue will we prevail. Our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. For the oppression of the poor, for the sign of the needy. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. From the inscription, we see that this is a psalm of David. There's nothing in the psalm that would indicate its time frame, though most likely at some point during the reign of Saul. But whenever it was written, it serves as a panoramic view of the day in which you and I live. And therefore, it's very pertinent to you and I. It's really a illustration of what we read in Psalm 11 and verse 3. We read there, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I believe that question is answered here in Psalm 12. They can continue to be godly. They can continue to be faithful. They can continue to cry out to God in prayer. But in this 12th Psalm, no doubt David is overwhelmed at what was going on around him. He laments over the growing corruption of his day. And what we see here is a child of God in the midst of a declining and crumbling society. And he serves as an example to us. Through the psalm, we see the overrunning nature of sin. Again, a picture of a society falling apart. But in the psalm, there's great encouragement. There's much instruction for you and I. We see from the very beginning of the psalm, the first 2 words, it begins with a sense of urgency. Help. Help. And by the time you get to the end of the psalm, in verse 8, it does not appear that the adverse circumstances have changed. What does appear to have changed is that David has found confidence and rest and peace and strength in the midst of all that was going on. So we, like David, live in the times of this 12th psalm. And thanks be unto God, we, like David, can find confidence and rest and peace and strength, same place he found it, in the Lord. I want to speak this evening on right perspective in a time of ongoing decline and extinction. We need to have a right perspective. The truth is, if we don't have a right perspective, we will fall victim to the times in which we live. We'll be sucked up by those times. First of all, consider the situation of the psalmist. Again, it begins with David making a very fervent, impassioned plea. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. We've all been there. We're about all you can say is help. Help, Lord. It's really not a bad place to be. But as you read those first two words, help, Lord, you can hear and you can feel the passion and the urgency of those words. The implication of help, Lord, are many. Many, many implications. They paint a very vivid picture. Help. It's a picture of need. Help. It's a picture of danger. Help. It's a picture of realized weakness. Help. It's a picture of difficulty. It's a picture of misery. It's a picture of crisis, an emergency, a picture of helplessness. Again, there's a sense of urgency. Help, Lord. David felt the situation to be very pressing. He felt it to be very dire. So he begins by saying, help, Lord. It's not even help me, though certainly that's implied, but help, Lord. And then beginning in verse 1, David begins to describe the situation. Notice it is, help, Lord, for. What follows are the reasons that help is needed. For, or because. Help, Lord, because. And then he goes on to state that it was a time of great loss. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. I find it interesting. I believe it's very telling. This is where David begins. He begins with the godly man. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. He begins with the godly man and the fact that he's ceasing. The godly man ceaseth. That was a problem. But it was not a problem that was beyond the Lord. And that's why he said, help, Lord. Society could not fix this problem. Man could not fix this problem. Only God. So he says, help, Lord. The seriousness of the problem is realized when you begin to see who and what the godly man is. The godly man is one who is godlike. He has godlike characteristics. He is one who manifests God in his light. He is devoted to God. He has a consciousness of God. He has a reverence for God. He has a respect for God. His heart is occupied with God. He has a sensitivity toward the Lord. He no doubt is responsive to God, submissive and obedient to the Lord. And this godly man ceaseth. The godly man is a lover of God. It's a man or woman who loves the Lord. And they worship God. And their heart is habitually right with God. And this godly man ceaseth. The godly man is a spiritual man. The opposite of a carnal man. He's a man who God has left an impression upon his life. You can see the workmanship of God in his life. The touch of God is upon this individual's life. And their life is an expression of who God is. And David says, the godly man ceaseth. Notice it does not say the godly man has ceased, but he ceaseth. In other words, it was something that was happening. It was something that was ongoing. He was getting to be more and more of a rarity, less and less. He had not completely died out, but he was ceasing, coming to an end. And this was happening in a continuing way. It's present tense. The godly man ceaseth. It's ongoing. And notice also, for the faithful, he's given the reasons for help, Lord. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. The godly man ceaseth, and the faithful are failing. They too are becoming less and less. The faithful, we preached upon that subject this morning. But involves a constancy and consistency. They are consistently loyal to God. Consistently true to God. Consistently committed to the Lord. They're unwavering. And they are so because of the influence of godliness in their life. So we hear David say, the faithful fail, meaning they are disappearing. They are vanishing. They have not disappeared completely. They have not vanished completely, but they are disappearing. They are vanishing. Again, it's present tense. It's an ongoing situation. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. The godly and the faithful were becoming less and less. The godly and the faithful were becoming extinct. Couple ways that can happen. Through death. The godly man ceaseth through death. Nothing you and I can do about that. There was a day when a godly man or woman passed away, God seemed to raise someone up to just kind of take their place. Those days seem to be gone. There are very few that step forward to step in the gap, stand in the gap. So the godly man can be cease through death. Sadder yet, the godly man can cease and the faithful cease through willful departure and defection. And I believe it's both here. But the loss is immeasurable. There's a great loss to society. Society doesn't know it. But there's a great loss to society when a godly person leaves this life. Or when a godly person departs, ceases to be godly. So it was a time of loss, and David no doubt was feeling that loss. That's why he cried, "Help, Lord." But it was also a time of manifest degeneracy. And we see that in verses 2 through 4. The godly and the faithful were becoming more and more of a rarity. And what David describes in verses 2 through 4 was becoming more and more common and more the norm. Notice what he says about those that are around him. He says they speak vanity, everyone to his neighbor. That is the babble of empty speech, meaningless speech, was everywhere. We can joke around and we can talk about frivolous things and we can do that. But when that's all you do, you got a problem. When you can't get serious, when it's time to get serious, there's a problem. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. Vanity is that which is empty, foolish, useless, pointless, no real profit. They love to talk about vanity. They love to hear about it. Everywhere was the chatter of the carnal. And while all that was going on, the godly and the faithful were becoming more and more rare. Notice also there in verse 2, with flattering lips do they speak. They speak lies, telling people what they want to hear, for the purpose of self-gain. A lot like our politicians. It's everywhere. People will tell you whatever they want to tell you just for their own gain. And while all that's going on, the godly and faithful are becoming more and more of a rarity. And flattering lips was becoming more and more common and the norm. Notice also, with a double heart do they speak. That is, they say one thing in one setting, something else in another setting. And it's all for the purpose of self-gain, what they can get out of it. And while that's going on, the godly and the faithful are becoming more and more of a rarity. And this double heart is becoming more and more common, becoming more and more the norm. Godliness and faithfulness was a rarity. But there was an explosion of lies for the purpose of self-interest. Much like today. Again, godliness and faithfulness They were hard to be found. They were hard to be found. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. It's as if David was looking for godly people and faithful people, and there just wasn't very many. Much like today. But while that was going on, everywhere was disloyalty and deception for the purpose of self-interest. Notice also in verse 3, they speak proud things. They hold a very high opinion of themselves. Self-importance, self-admiration, self-honor, self-satisfaction, self-adulation, and godliness and faithfulness had all but disappeared. But everywhere there was this obsession with self. Here I go. I'm going to get on Facebook, but Facebook proves what I'm saying. There is an obsession with self. People are dying taking selfies. I mean, stupid. Stand on the edge of a cliff and take a picture of yourself. That's obsession. And these are the norm. Notice verse 4. Who have said with our tongue will we prevail, our lips our own, who is Lord over us. There was a boasting. There was an arrogance. There was a self-confidence, a self-authority, a self-sufficiency. And there was a spirit of lawlessness. Who is Lord over us? There's a rejection and a defiance of God. A rejection and a defiance of authority. And again, while the godly and the faithful were becoming more and more of a rarity, these things were becoming more and more common. More and more the norm. It was a time of degeneracy. It was also a time of oppression. Verse 5 says, for the oppression of the poor. Again, he's given reason. Help, Lord, for the oppression of the poor. It speaks of persecution, tyranny, injustice, taking advantage of others, preying upon others. Again, all for self-gain. Notice also there in verse 5, puffeth. The last three words, puffeth at him. It speaks of their view and treatment of others based upon, again, a feeling of self-regard and arrogance and importance. And also notice in verse 5, there is sighing. It was a time of grieving. It was a time of lamentation. It was a time of longing. And again, while the ungodly and the faithful were becoming more and more of a rarity, these things were becoming more and more common, and they were becoming the norm. It's scary today what has become the norm. It is scary today what is becoming so common. And scarier yet is what is so uncommon. The godly. The faithful. It was a time of unholy boldness. Verse 8. The wicked. The evil. The immoral. The vile, the erring, the abominable, the hateful, the illicit, the lawless, the wicked walk. And the word there is strut or parade. And then notice what it says on every side. View that in the context of the first verse. The wicked walk on every side. The godly man ceaseth, but the wicked walk on every side. The faithful fail from among the children of men, but the wicked walketh on every side. It speaks of the extensiveness of wickedness. Godliness and faithfulness is dying out, and wickedness is extending itself. This is what was going on here in this 12th Psalm. It was rampant. Wicked walk on every side. It was pervasive. It was into everything. It speaks of, again, wickedness becoming common, becoming the norm. So it is, the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail, and the wicked strut on every side. On every side. It's a picture of being surrounded. David says, I turn here, but the wicked, the godly ceaseth, the faithful fail. I turn over here. Where are the godly? Where are the faithful? But no matter where I turn, the wicked are everywhere. They're everywhere. So you see, one thing is becoming very uncommon, and another thing is becoming very common. Again, this is very descriptive of the day in which we live. It's a picture, they walk on every side. It's a picture of being surrounded by evil, by immoral, the corrupt, the erring, the lawless, the crooked, the shocking. We often say, has everyone lost their mind? And why do we talk like that? Because we're in a similar situation with David. The godly are very few. The faithful are very few. But everywhere you turn, there's the wicked. There they are. Notice also, verse 8, when the vilest men are exalted. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. The vilest men. That speaks, of course, of the highest degree of the abominable and the offensive. And they're exalted. The vilest of men are elevated. They're made illustrious. They're esteemed. All the while the godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. The vilest, the most offensive and repulsive, the most shameful, the most debased of mankind were being praised, were being revered and idolized. And the godly man was ceasing. And the faithful were becoming more and more of a rarity. But wickedness was becoming more common and was becoming the norm. So you get the picture. Everywhere David looks, there's this, he saw evil prevailing everywhere he turns. It was a time that deeply affected David. How do we know that? First two words. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. It's the language of someone who's been deeply affected. Again, remember where he began. He began with the godly man and the faithful, that they were ceasing. But that plea, help, Lord, indicates that David was very aware of the situation around him. We need to be aware of what's going on around us. Need to be aware. Don't be ignorant about what's going on all around us. Well, I'd just rather not know. Well, you need to wake up. He was not in a state of oblivion. He was not unmindful of what was going on. He was not insensible to it. He was not indifferent toward it. And he was not unaffected. It affected him. The plea, "Help, Lord," indicates that he personally felt the situation. It indicates that the situation pained him, caused him hurt. "Help, Lord." He felt that the situation was beyond him. That's why he cries out for help. But he also knew the one who was able to help. So in this psalm, he is describing a time when all appears to be crumbling and collapsing around him. He's speaking of a time of deterioration, rot. And looking at this, do we not see the times in which we live? Times of the vanishing of godliness and faithfulness. Times of the rapid advancement and the proliferation of self. David was bothered. "Help, Lord." And where did he begin? "The godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail." And then he went on to mention all these other things. But what was it that bothered David more than anything? "The godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail." That's more bothersome than anything else that's going on. The vilest of men are exalted, but that's not as bothersome as "the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail." It sickens me, and you too, to see what society has become. It sickens me to listen to people who supposedly have a brain in their head, but they're proving just the opposite. It's sickening. It's disheartening. It's disappointing. But as disheartening and disappointing as that is, it's even more disappointing to see the godly willfully depart. That's even more disappointing to me. Because you expect more of them. The godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail. So here's some lessons and encouragement for such a time. We live in a time, and I hope it doesn't offend you. It shouldn't. It's just the plain truth. We live in a time when godliness and faithfulness are very sparse. Very sparse. Even in circles where you think, "Oh, this is a godly bunch. Yeah. Just stay around a while. Look around, listen. You may find out different." But it's a time when the godly and the faithful are few and far between. We thank God for the few there are. But they are few. But in this 12th psalm, we find encouragement for such a time. First of all, there's encouragement to David's reaction. How did David react to this situation? Help, Lord! That was his reaction. Help, Lord! That ought to be our reaction. Help, Lord! The word help means to give assistance. The word help can come in the form of relief. The word help can come in the form of a cure. To prevent something can be a form of help. To enable can be a form of help. To deliver can be a form of help. To supply and furnish can be a form of help. To provide protection, instruction, and guidance can be a form of help. And in times of spiritual decline and extinction, all of those things are available to us in the Lord. Help, Lord. David's in a terrible situation. But what is the direction of his heart? It's to the Lord. Help, Lord. That's where it begins. That's where the psalm begins. It tells us the direction of David's heart. It manifests where his attention was. Where his dependence was. It sickens us the way our government is going. But my dependence is not on the government. Our dependence is in the Lord. And we must not lose sight of that. God's people in times of ongoing spiritual decline and extinction can still have a right direction of heart. He no doubt, as he prayed, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men. He no doubt had a desire to remain godly and faithful. It's like praying, Lord, here I am, surrounded by wickedness. The godly and the faithful are vanishing. They're very rare. Lord, help me. Not to cease, not to fail. Help me in the midst of this wicked mess. Because I will go the way of everyone else outside of your help. Help me. Here I am surrounded by wickedness, David says. In a society of self. Oh God, help me. To be more conscious of you. Help me to be more occupied with you and less with myself. David is in the midst of irreverence and disrespect for God. He says, Lord, help me. Again, the me isn't in our text, but certainly it's implied. Help me. Help me to have a reverence for you. Here I am in a world filled with empty chatter. Lord, help me to be more responsive and submissive to you. Here I am in the midst of a society of immersed in ignorance and stupidity. Lord, help me not to be pressed into its mold. Help me, Lord. Because there are people who stood here, sang the same songs of faith that you and I sing, but they no longer sing those songs. They've departed from the Lord. And we can get our focus upon them, and we can get in a woe is me, or we can say, Lord, help me. To remain faithful Help me. Help my brothers and sisters in Christ to be godly. Help us not to be pressed into the mold of the world. I know people, you know people, whom you never thought you would see fall, but they have. But they have. That can be us. We're no better than they are. Help, Lord. Help. Help me to be loyal and committed entirely to you. So in times of distinction, in times of decline and extinction, we can have a right desire of heart. Help, Lord. We see also from those two words there's access to God. Help, Lord. He had access to God. There's a sovereign God to turn to. And we had better be turning to Him. Or we will become the problem. Thirdly, there was confidence in God. Notice verse 3. The Lord shall. Help, Lord. The Lord shall. David knew that the situation would come to an end in God's time. And the situation we find ourselves in today in the United States of America will come to an end in God's time. The Lord shall. The Lord shall cut off. It's indicative of the fact that David knew that God was in control. We say it all the time. Well, God knows. God's in control. Yes, He does, and yes, He is. But do we really believe it? He knew that God was greater than the situation. The Lord shall cut off. God is still greater than the situation. It's basically the confidence that God is able. So in times of ongoing spiritual decline and extinction, we can have confidence in God. There is God revealing Himself. Notice verse 5. About midway through that verse, now will I arise, saith the Lord. Who's speaking here? David's not speaking. God's speaking. I will set him. This is God speaking. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. God speaks. He speaks in response to David, who said, "Help, Lord." And God speaks in response to David, and He speaks in response about the problem. I will. In times of ongoing spiritual decline and extinction, God is not silenced. God has something to say. God has something to say about every situation there is. We need to just listen. In times of ongoing spiritual decline and extinction, God has something to say. He has something to say to His people. And He has something to say concerning Himself. I will. I will. There's confidence in those words. I will. Notice, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. That's a promise of God. In times of spiritual decline and extinction, we have the promises of God. That phrase also speaks of the care of God. In times of spiritual decline and extinction, we have the care of God. That phrase also speaks of the awareness of the Lord. God is aware. God knows what's going on. He knows what He's going to do. Then notice, there's the Word of God. David is speaking in verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. God speaks in verse 5. And then David speaks concerning God's words in verse 6. What he's doing in verse 6 is expressing his trust in the words of God. Notice it is the words of the Lord are pure words, plural. Going back to what God had just said. In other words, they're pure words. There's no mixture in them like there was in the flattering lips and those who spake with a double heart. So there's David. The babble of empty speech is everywhere, all around him. And he can hear it. And it pains him to hear it. But what's he focus upon? God's words. Oh, we need not to focus upon the foolish words of man. Need to focus upon God's words. I told you it's been a couple months now. I haven't watched Fox News in a couple months. I'm not saying you're wrong for doing so. I just couldn't handle it. I get myself so upset, so angry, I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't listen to the foolishness of the guests that they would have on. And I thought, this is not good for me. And so I just stopped watching. I read the news. I'm aware of what's going on. It wasn't doing me any good. And if you focus upon what the evil and the ignorant are saying, you can drive yourself nuts. Sometimes we need to just focus upon what God says. God states that God's words have been tried and proven. You know, I can't handle, I can't even think of her name right now, but you all know who I'm talking about. In 2 years, Miami will cease to exist because of climate change. Where did these people come from? I mean, how ignorant do you have to be? I can't focus on that. It will not help me spiritually. He knew God's word to be true. And we know the same today as well. There's also an assurance of the faithfulness of God. Verse 7. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, grammatically, the them would go back to the words of the Lord. But I don't believe that's what it's going back to. I believe it's going back to the promise. So I believe it's in response to what God said in verse 5, not in response to what David said in verse 6. And what God said in verse 5 is, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. And then we have this assurance of David, thou shalt keep them. Having said that, I guarantee you God will keep his word also. But he has assurance of the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. God cannot deny himself. God cannot deny His word. God is faithful. And in times of spiritual decline, the godly man ceaseth. Every time a godly person leaves this life through death or willful departure from the faith, it is a reminder that's not who we're dependent upon. That's not who we're dependent upon. God is faithful. God is faithful. And we can depend on Him. So coming to this last verse, does not appear that the circumstances have changed. The wicked are walking on every side. But I do believe David had changed. I believe David had found rest and strength in God. And we live in wicked times. We live in times that greatly pain us. But we can find rest. And there is strength in God. There is strength in God's Word. I can get myself all worked up about 2020. But it would be foolish. There's strength. There's rest in God and His Word. So in this time when the godly man ceaseth, the faithful fail from among the children of men, we too can find rest and strength in the Lord. We don't have to focus on the disappointments. People will disappoint you. I will disappoint you. People will disappoint you. Just the fact of life. God won't. Trust Him. Just trust the Lord. And thank God that we do have a people here in this assembly that are godly, that are faithful. Are they perfect? No. No one is. And as the old saying is, if you want a perfect church, don't go to it. You'll ruin it. That's true. We're not perfect. But we do have some godly people and some faithful people. And they're not the enemy. The godly are not the enemy. The faithful are not the enemy. We ought to thank God for those that are godly, for those who are an example to their families, for those who try to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank the Lord. You don't have to agree with everything they do. But you thank God that they have some convictions and they're striving to serve the Lord. God, help us. Again, that needs to be our prayer. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. I find myself, there's not a day that goes by that I do not pray, Lord, help me. I need You to help me. We need to live in the consciousness of our need of God's help. And there's nothing wrong with just looking up and saying, help, Lord. Help. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.